realizing the Zen way. Zen points directly to our original nature. If one realizes original nature, one knows that fundamentally birth and death are without form. This is true longevity. One sees nothing to call misfortune. This is true security. One leaves behind the notions of has and has not. This is true gain. One sees there is no one to despise as an enemy. This is true conquest, true love and respect. Once one realizes these principles, one realizes the Zen way. Like in the Heart Sutra, the word no figures prominently in this reading. And where we see the word no, we're encountering the language of emptiness in our Zen tradition. One way of describing the Zen journey, if there is any journey at all, is that when we begin practicing, we really only believe in form. We believe in discrete entities. We believe there is a self and other at the most fundamental level. And then we believe in discrete things, a computer, a light bulb, a floor, a bird in a tree. Each thing has its own independent existence. As we practice, we learn to look deeply into forms. We begin to question whether they have discrete essences after all. The metaphor that's often used is that of a wave. And when we look deeply into the wave, we see water, undifferentiated from the rest of the ocean. No separate form at all. This no is the language of emptiness. The wave has no intrinsic essence that is any different from the rest of the water. The undifferentiated realm. As we continue to practice, it's important that we not become too attached to that no. And yet that no has enormous power for the way. And it's this balance, this integration of form and emptiness that marks our practice. And so it is said that at the quote end of our journey, form is form and emptiness is emptiness. Rivers are rivers and mountains are mountains again. And I would add that it is also true that rivers are not rivers and mountains are not mountains. The Aristotelian logician would say this contradiction is not possible. Fortunately, we don't care. Because when we look deeply, it's what we see. Of course, we can look at reality as being comprised of discrete entities. In fact, it could be harmful. It would be harmful for us to dismiss the existence of discrete entities. I've said this many times, but at the most fundamental level, were we to do so, we would not know what to eat for dinner. We would not survive. We would also disrespect each other and dismiss one another's suffering. We would not have compassion for the plights of individuals. We would say their plights are based purely on folly. We would say there is no such thing as the wave. And of course, this misses an important part of our human experience. So seeing into emptiness, though it is expressed by the word no, is not about dismissing relative truth. If we do so, we're leaning a little too hard into what we describe as the wisdom side of practice. And we're neglecting the compassion side. On the other hand, when we cling too tightly to form, we can be ruled by the tyranny of thought, of judgment, and we need medicine. Fortunately, there's an awful lot of good medicine in the Zen tradition. Zen points directly to our original nature. And in this chant, that's referring to water. If one realizes original nature, one knows that fundamentally birth and death are without form. The wave is water, and when the wave collapses, it is still water. This is true longevity. One sees nothing to call misfortune. We've all heard the story of the farmer whose son found a horse and brought it home, and everyone said, "Oh, how lucky." And then the son fell off the horse and broke his leg. And everyone said, "Oh, how unfortunate. What misfortune." And then the country engaged in a war, and all of the sons were drafted for battle. But this young man couldn't go because he had a broken leg. How fortunate. Was it or was it not fortunate that the boy found the horse? And of course, the story goes on and on, because circumstances change. And the stories that we tell about reality and our lives change. To clasp a particular event in an ironclad way as fortune or misfortune, from the view of emptiness, misses the point. There is something unfolding that is quite beyond the judgments that I have about my life or about your life. Something more intimate with which we come into contact moment after moment, always revealing itself. One sees nothing to call misfortune. This is true security. One leaves behind the notions of has and has not. We might ask, who has? So first, we know that everything is impermanent. Whatever I possess, I also give away. There is no holding on to anything in the long run. And that's from the perspective of time. But even when we look deeply into this moment and ask that question, who has, we find that we ourselves have no fixed essence. There is nobody there in the center of our being. We exist relationally. I am only a teacher because I have students. But do I have you? On the deepest level, we know I don't have you at all. One sees that there is no one to despise as an enemy. This is true conquest, true love, and respect. Oh, how the mind likes to make categories. The categories of good and bad. The ailment, we might say, of our nation. We come to this place where we put someone, a human being, in a category. When we know, there but for the grace of Buddha, go I. Causes and conditions give rise to our shape and form, just as the wind and the moon give rise to the wave. Were we born into the exact same circumstances with the same biology, that is who we would be. We would be our enemy. Is it possible, therefore, to have compassion for those with whom we disagree? So this teaching helps, it's a medicine when we are stuck in rigidly believing in our beliefs, in the way that we see things, when we cling to our version of reality, when we're ready to kill for our story. Perhaps we could have the medicine of emptiness and recognize that we're all water. But to stick there is also dangerous. To stay in the place of seeing only the undifferentiated leads to a kind of detachment, even neglect for suffering in the world. And not only that, but it just misses the other side of the coin, which is that the wave also exists. There is still suffering in the world. We suffer ourselves. The beauty of this insight is that we don't attach to our suffering. We don't identify with it because we don't create a fixed self or essence that is the suffering. We know that reality flows. Without any fixed essence, everything goes its own way. Even our suffering can appear to us somewhat transparent. Much earlier today, I was meditating, and the world just appeared as clear as a bell to me. And a sense of self arose with that experience. Very subtle. But a sense that I was that clarity. And about half an hour later, my mind was muddy. A fog entered in. I found myself tired, not thinking clearly. And a sense of self arose. Oh, I am unclear. But the beauty of this practice is that on a deep level, we know that neither of these states of mind form is a self, forms into a self. We may have a sense of self, the self selfs endlessly. That's part of what we see when we meditate, the self selfing the self. But that's okay. It's not a problem. It's empty, without any fixed essence. We can just bear witness and let it unfold, no problem. And we can have compassion for ourselves, because sometimes it hurts. And we can have compassion for others, because we know everybody hurts sometimes. So, coming full circle, we relate with the world of form with a little bit less attachment to the world of form. And this alleviates suffering, and it allows us to encounter suffering in the world with a compassionate heart. So for me, it's important to continue this practice of looking deeply into the wave formations of our heart-mind, looking into the ways that we divide ourselves from ourselves, reality from reality, this from that, enemy from friend, good from bad. And also important to look into the way that these wave formations are not the ultimate truth. They are merely thoughts. And we can be liberated from the tyranny of thought. But it doesn't mean that thinking stops. We just hold it all a little bit more lightly. And then we're invited into the intimacy of things just as they are. Thought formations as thought formations, voices as voices, sounds as sounds, sensation as sensation. Everything flowing. We meet it, hopefully with a compassionate, open heart. And just do our best to help alleviate suffering in the world. Thank you.